Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight. Thanks for joining us. As always, I come from sonofcheese.com. From fizzleandpop.com, it's Colin Burton.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us from Emerald Hierophant at theblogspot.com is Mr. Professor Noriaki Kakuin, Justin Montrose. Carmichael. What's that?
Fuck Montrose.
Joining us once again, published author June O'Leary of Pocket Prayers fame.
Hi, everybody.
And my dad, Jess Knight of Fuck Montrose fame.
Fuck haiku.
And last and certainly least, way over by the fireplace, my sister from Matted Spam, Heather Knight.
Our second favorite child.
You can come over here and hit him.
Second favorite child. That's so horrible that they do that to you.
But yet it's true. It's their second favorite child. Hello.
The topic on today's show is going to be one that everybody, I'm sure, has some experience with. It's the video games, the history of video games. What video games do you like to play? What video games were you best at? And I know you, way over there, because you're nothing but a sheep. When you saw Matthew Broderick playing Galaga in War Games, you became not only addicted to Galaga, but you got pretty good at it.
Damn good at it. But it was. That was the only reason I decided to play Galaga, was because, ooh, Matthew Broderick playing in
Matthew
War
Broderick
Games.
May have touched this machine.
I'm very grateful that he wasn't doing crack.
Yes. That's right. Had Matthew Broderick been on drugs and shooting people, my sister at this point in time would probably be in prison or dead.
See? Entertainment can influence children.
Instead, she's really good at Galaga.
That's right.
You used to get, like, what was your highest shot percentage, maybe?
I'm sure you remember. You know what? My shot percentage was never very high because I shot at everything. It was just a constant barrage of bullets. So my shot percentage was never very high.
So you're the spray and pray method of Galaga.
Maybe 70, like 79% or something. But
that's still not bad,
though.
If I'm lucky, that's...
But you and Colin... Own quite a significant amount of video games, but nobody in this room owns more consoles and video games likely than Justin Carmichael, who's also the proprietor of the Cheat Museum. We've talked briefly about the Cheat Museum on an earlier episode, and it's so long ago that if you want to dig it up, go ahead. But why don't you refresh the kids' memory out there? What is the Cheat Museum exactly?
The Cheat Museum was my attempt to get my wife to allow me to buy and collect video games. That was pretty much all there was to it.
And it was a success.
It was a success, and then I just wanted to have games that people remembered and enjoyed playing when they were kids, and so I just started collecting things, and my friends would go, "Oh, you're collecting things? Well, here, have my Atari 2600. Here, have my Dreamcast. Oh, by the way, here's a Genesis, you know, and some games that I don't, you know, what do I owe you for? Oh, no, don't worry about it. Just here you go."
And had I not sold all of my Sega Master System games on eBay long before meeting you, I would have given them all to you, but instead some guy somewhere like in St. Louis owns them now.
Yeah. He's probably already resold them, too.
Probably, yeah. But or he's, you know, looking for somebody like you to donate them. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But have you found in doing that maybe something that you played when you were a kid and enjoyed when you were a kid maybe isn't quite so challenging or enjoyable now in this day and age of really, really complex home consoles?
Oh, yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just wrote a scathing review of Pong on Colin and I. We have a game website. Where we go about...
Why don't you give the address for that website?
Colin, you...
My mind is blanking.
Gamer Go Round.
We've got this website.
Gamer Go Round.
GamerGoRound.blogspot.com?
Gamers Go Round.
Gamers Go Round.
Blogspot.com.
Okay.
And I actually wrote one on River City Ransom. I was so excited to get this, and this was actually several months ago. I got it, and I, you know, paid my... I think it was... $12-$14 for it. I was very excited. I pop it in there. 3 hours later, I'm finished with it. And I had remembered it took me about 3 months to finish it the first time.
So you've either gotten smarter since then.
Or I remember the paths, or I remember something, but, you know, it was still a fun game to play, but I was really amazed at how different, how used to certain games I was, and now that I've kind of grown up with. Now I'm PlayStation 2, Wii, you know, Xbox 3, you know, Xbox 360. Going back to these old NES games, they're still fun, but wow, what a difference.
Well, and especially in the realm of sports games, you've been given so much more control over what you're doing in the newer games that you go back to the older games, and last year for Christmas, I was given a number of the EA sports games, which I'm fond of. One of them was NHL 06, and it has a feature in there where you can go back and play, I think, one of the first NHL games that they released. Maybe it was, it might have been 95 or 94, and it's horrible. It's the worst thing ever. There's no thought process other than go straight and hope you don't get the puck stolen from you, whereas now they have the skill stick, and you can do all the deeks, and it's the same in the football game, where you have to adjust the quarterback's line of sight to be able to complete a pass, which is in my opinion, it's more fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, some other people might think it's too complex for them. But
I'm not going to remember that.
I like it. Yeah, I like it a whole lot. But my introduction to video games, I mean, we play, obviously, way in the early 80s when Pac-Man was king at the arcade and Atari 2600 ruled the home. I think it was probably 1980, Dad, that you and Mom bought the Atari 2600, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's probably around. I'm not sure. I'm never good at dates, but yeah, that's what we got. And I was late for a hair appointment. I mean, I had hair then.
Hey, how ironic, yeah.
Yeah, how ironic. And we were playing Pong, and we got so wrapped up in Pong that I actually missed get my hair cut. And, I mean, it was just unbelievable. And what was really exciting is when it would bounce off two corners and you had to catch it that way, you know, and Pong it back. Go Pong it back.
Pong it back.
Pong. Yeah. Went like nothing. I mean, and then they had one called Combat, and it had little squares that were supposed to be tanks, and they would shoot. Yeah, and you kids would play that for hours and hours
and
hours.
One of the things about the Atari 2600 games that I remember was one cartridge had several different games on it, and Olympic sports cartridge had the blocks just in different configurations. Yep. Like, say, the hockey game had two blocky goals and two just blocks at a Pong blip.
It was just Pong.
But if you got the blip caught behind the net, it would never come back out. It could get back there and just in this endless loop and would never come back out, so you'd have to reset the game. Of course, you only had the one button, so there was really no, you know, what could you do?
Well, I can remember you and Ryan playing football. I don't know, it wasn't Madden, I don't
know. No, this was the old Tecmo Bowl on the Nintendo.
All night and play that game. I mean, all night.
The one that we would stay up all night more than anything would be Mike Tyson's Punch-Out on the old Nintendo.
I remember that one.
TC Surf and Sport was one we stayed up all night playing one time, only because I thought that at some point there was a stupid pattern to it, just like most of the games, on the surf. I figured out the pattern, and I was going for hours expecting, I don't know, something to happen. And it's a lot like, have you heard of the video game that was produced for the Sega Saturn called Penn & Teller Smoke and Mirrors?
Yes.
It included a game because it was their jab at Janet Reno, who was saying that video games were too violent. They wanted more real-life games, so they had what's called Desert Bus. And it was your job in Desert Bus was to drive a bus from Tucson to Las Vegas. The bus had a governor on it, so it could only go 45 miles an hour. It pulled slightly to the right.
So you couldn't your controller down and put a book on it.
So if the bus ran off the road, it wouldn't wreck. It would just overheat. It would just stick in the sand and overheat. The only animation in the game was the pine tree air freshener that would swing in and out of the frame. And it took 8 hours to get from Tucson to Las Vegas.
And then you got
to Las Vegas, the counter clicked to one. You got 1 point. And then it would come in. Then a guy would come in and say, you want to pull a double shift. And they had this idea that if whoever got the highest score on Desert Bus would earn a great prize. But, like Justin said, the game was never actually fully developed and never came out. But that was kind of like
the ROM now.
That was kind of like TC Surf and Sport for me. I played it for like 5 or 6 hours waiting for something to happen, and nothing ever did. Nothing ever happened. Yeah. Constantly listening to a shitty MIDI version of Hats Off to Larry by Del Shannon, which is probably the worst song ever made, and then when it's just like done badly on a Casio. Oh my God. It's one of the most traumatic events of my life.
I like that song.
That's so sad. June, Jennifer, Jenny Valentine, you say that you're kind of the landlady of the Cheat Museum since it's in your basement, or your goddamn basement, right?
I cuss, but I try not to cuss with God's name. So
I'm sorry.
She comes up with some pretty don't blue stuff, though.
It's in your fucking basement.
Yeah, there you go. That's acceptable. I don't think you're breaking commandments when you say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about why you allow your husband to do what he does?
Better than drugs.
Because without video games, he'd just be a goddamn... a damn junkie.
Yeah. No, everyone's got their quirks. Everyone's got their hobbies. Obviously, he puts up with my poetry, so I can put up with his video games. And this way,
the luckiest guy in the world, or what?
You might be.
You know, and if we ever have kids, then they get to have all this wonderful stuff to play with.
That makes good sense.
So there you go.
Now, earlier, before we started the podcast, you were talking about Guitar Hero, and I know that you and Heather I know Heather does, and obviously you seem to like guitar, so... Mm-hmm. What are you guys like? Can you do dueling banjos with Guitar Hero?
There's no banjos on Guitar Hero.
Banjo Hero. That's what I want to see come out.
Deliverance Hero.
So
just wait. You know, you'll get MTV bought Guitar Hero. Maybe the Country Channel will pick up Banjo Hero to be an antithesis.
Yeah, that's the bonus round.
So... Now, you were saying before we started that you like Guitar Hero because you were never really good at video games. So, like, you would get whooped up on by your brother?
Yeah, it was annoying. Street Fighter came out, and I would come home, and I'd be playing, and I'd get, like, to the last couple of bosses. And here I am, I put in all this effort to get to the last boss, and Josh comes in, and he uses the automatic challenge. And he beats me, and he gets to the last boss.
But what character were you?
I was always Chun-Li.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah.
I always use Dalsum because you could stay safely across the screen and punch people in the face.
Yeah. Cammy was cool, but, you know, that kind of leg action thing, my dad didn't exactly appreciate that. So he encouraged Chun-Li. Yeah. Yeah, video games will ruin you. No.
But now you found your niche and it's Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I love Guitar Hero. That's fun.
And you can go for hours on that stupid thing, right?
Oh, yeah, I can play all day.
I play until my fingers go numb.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I still play after that.
And then some, yeah.
Well, I tried that game once, and I... Mostly because my hands are useless bricks. I was very, very bad at it. You heard a lot of dunk, 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 when you're supposed to be hearing... Sounds like that African dialect. That's pretty much how it sounds when I'm playing Guitar Hero. Now, Colin, how many consoles do you own?
I don't know. I haven't counted. A lot. I have a lot.
But what are the ones that you play most?
Probably the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 2.
What are your favorite games?
That's like asking him which one of his children is his favorite.
Like my favorite movie.
Well,
I mean,
that's Justin.
So, I like a lot of games. I mainly got Guitar Hero for the family because everybody enjoys it, and Guitar Hero 2.
Look at how benevolent you are. Always thinking of others.
I got a question. The day I was over to your house and Justin was up, and I was babysitting your kids, and Justin was upstairs playing some game, and I thought he was talking to himself. What the hell was that all about?
He was playing Gears of War on the Xbox 360. And
you
using...
have to talk?
No, he was playing online.
No, he's just insane.
To talk to those people.
He has a little headset.
Oh, so he was probably talking the crap.
No, he doesn't really talk the crap too much. I've watched him. I make sure he doesn't do that.
He's not very adept at it? Or is it just not encouraged in the Burton household?
Yeah, I don't tolerate the crap talk.
Yeah, whatever.
You weren't there.
Well,
Merry Christmas, biatch!
I think the songs on Guitar Hero 1 are better than Guitar Hero 2, don't you, Heather?
Yes, I do.
Although the options on Guitar Hero 2 are really improved. I love what they've done with
that. I like
that.
The multiplayer.
Well, because you get to be, you know, you're not playing the same thing, because on Guitar Hero 1, you were both playing the same song, you just had different parts of it. But on 2, you can, one person is lead, one person is bass, or one person is rhythm.
Yeah, you can play bass or lead or rhythm as applicable. So that's very cool. And also, Justin was showing me, you can break the song out by section, so that you can, if you've got a really hard time with, say, the third chorus, because they have a really strong Guitar Hero solo in there, you can actually just practice that one part. You can isolate it and just practice it. Whereas in Guitar Hero 1, you had to start from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was always so hard.
That was why I lost feeling in my arm for a while.
Yeah.
I got stuck on that.
Some people have tennis elbow or injuries from sports, and you've got numb arm from playing video games.
Yeah. It was the Queen of the Stone Age song that did it, because I couldn't get past that song, and I played it.
Although with the new Wii, which I had an opportunity to play some since Justin was kind enough to bring it over, I guess people are already reporting breakage injuries in Wii elbow because it's so interactive. You actually have to swing the controller and things.
Yeah, I think I strained my right shoulder the first time when he was having me box against Trevor.
That's almost hilarious. But you think that maybe people are injuring themselves because most video gamers are just pasty white people who just sit in the dark and do nothing but play video games and never get outside and throw a ball?
I think if you gave somebody a video game and they just sat down and played it, their hands and their thumbs are going to hurt. If you gave somebody who is just starting out with hockey and is really enthusiastic about hockey, and you put them out there, their ankles...
They're going to hurt their
hips. They're going to fall on their ass.
They're going...
It's just something that...
I can guarantee you, you'll break your ribs and you're going to really injure your hip. That's what I did.
That's why I'll never play.
The first day I stepped on the ice, I broke two ribs. But I kept the puck out of the net.
Yeah.
I
think it'll just happen with anything. You know, it's just a repetitive movement. You just have to pace yourself, you know?
Pace yourself.
Rather broke your nose playing hockey.
That's right. In fact, that's a great story. And since we're on the topic of video games or arcade games, Dad, why don't you pull the microphone back to your face and tell the story of how my mom broke her nose playing the hockey.
I don't remember where we were.
We were at the Nickelodeon in the Rustic Hills Mall. No, Rustic Hills Mall.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And I think we was waiting for a movie.
No, we had just got done eating at first.
Why don't you tell the story?
Well, the reason I know this is because we would go eat at Furs a lot, but I would always lobby for the Furs in the Rustic Hills Mall because there was the Nickelodeon, and they had the game Mat Mania, which I was completely enthralled by because I was a huge geek for pro wrestling when I was young. But Mom and Dad were playing the dome hockey, the bubble dome hockey. And Dad, what happened?
Well, the puck got stuck. You tell the story. I forgot it.
Sometimes, have you ever played the bubble dome hockey?
Yes. You don't see them anymore.
Every now and then. There's still one at the World Arena Ice Hall.
Really?
Yeah, you can find them at the ice hall, there's one.
Brilliant.
And also at Sertich. If you go to a hockey rink, you can usually find the bubble dome hockey, ironically enough. But the puck slid up behind the net, and it sat there. And, you know, a lot of times you might jiggle the machine. She bent down to pick it up. And in doing so, rammed her face into the bubble dome.
Bam!
And broke her nose. Playing
like a
bubble dome
crow
hockey.
Flying into a window.
That's right. It must have been really clean that day because she busted her nose good and hard on the bubble dome. So that's the story, is that my mom broke her nose playing hockey.
Keep the puck out of the net?
What's that?
Did she keep the puck out of the net, though?
Yeah, was it enough to shake the machine?
No, I don't think she did. I don't think she accomplished anything other than crying that day out of that. But speaking of the Nickelodeon, your eyes lit up when I said that. Did you spend some time there?
Yeah, well, I live like a hop. I used to live a hop, skip, and a jump from there.
Yeah.
And, you know, wow.
That was where they tore it all down and then built
This place is all now long gone. It used to be anchored by a Dave Cook.
Oh, yes, and the original Street Fighter where it had two big pads.
Yeah, the stupid pads.
And you had to punch them as hard as you could. And the harder you punched them, the harder the punch or the kick was. And so you do your movement for the uppercut or the shiro, you can grab one of the fireball thingy. And you had to hit it at a specific... Oh, God, we used to walk out of there and our arms just aching. Once again, arms aching.
Arms aching, yes. Well, and you know, actually, there was a game. There was a video game that I played at the arcade in Manitou that injured me. It was called Supersonic Blast Man. Have you ever played that?
Yes, it had a pad, and you had
yep,
to put on a boxing glove
and
you had to punch it. And once again, as hard as you punched it,
it would measure the feet, the foot pounds of your punch.
Yeah,
and you had to you had three tries, and it would accumulate, and you had to destroy a target, and it got harder every time.
That was
brilliant. And I played that stinking game for about 3 hours.
Oh my god!
And
really?
Ended up just about breaking my wrist because I was. I was taking the Happy Gilmore hops at it and just putting everything I had into this pow, pow, pow. And I got up to the giant sea crab thing, I think, that finally before I had to go to the emergency room. I'm kidding about the emergency room. But before I ran out of money.
Derek had a lot of repressed anger. He needs to punch things. And
well, and we would have people as lookouts and on the sides when we went to the one up in Denver before they took out the water slide park, the indoor water slide.
Celebrity Fun Center.
Celebrity Fun Center. Yeah. Well, they had one of those in their basement, and we'd have people taking point. Okay, is anybody around? Okay, no. And we kick at it.
Cheaters!
And sure enough, we'd get better. Oh, God, this one's hard. Okay, kick point, it. You know, everybody. Okay, nobody's around. Wham!
See, I never even thought to cheat. You dirty, dirty
cheater. It's not cheating. It's just using a different appendage.
One of my favorite arcade games of all time, and one that doesn't translate, because, you know, we've all played the MAME ROMs on our computer. One that doesn't translate as well as Karate Champ, because you have the two joysticks, mm-hmm. and it's so tactile. But my best memory of Karate Champ, the 7-Eleven down not far from here, because I grew up right around here, mm-hmm. had a Karate Champ. So I'd walk down there and play the game every now and then. Well, at one point, I think I was probably 6th grade. So I don't know what age that was. 12?
6th grade, yeah.
I was 12, and I was playing the Karate Champ, and a guy who was probably about 25 came up and wanted to challenge. And he put his coin in, and I just quickly dispatched him, beat him unmercifully. And he had a pocket full of quarters. And the game would come up with the message after the challenge lost, challenger insert coin for rematch. He had to have spent $12 trying to beat me. And I was getting to the point where I was laughing so hard because he was getting so mad.
No.
I was just cracking up laughing the whole time.
That just makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because then you really want to beat
He wants so
shit.
Desperately to beat me. And like I say, wasted about $12. But what that did, because the game didn't differentiate between versus computer and versus human, mm-hmm. I had the highest score ever that game had seen. And so I was so proud. I went to school the next day. I was like, I've got the top score on Karate Champ down at 7-Eleven. And I didn't have to do anything but beat somebody who had never played it before repeatedly.
$12 worth.
Yeah, he paid $12, and I ended up with the highest score.
You should have offered to, give me $10 and I'll leave.
That's right, yeah. Cut your losses. You can use the other two to get better.
Well, I thought Derek was going to say, oh, yeah, oh, boy, you beat me. You want to put some money on it? Got $12 worth of quarters?
No, I was probably too – I wasn't smart enough to do that. Man, I need to go back in time.
What was that game on Seinfeld that George
– Frogger.
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 Which is why he was trying
–
that's why they set it up so that when he was getting it across the street, it was like a scene from Frogger. And he lost.
And they've actually got – there's a – I forget the name of them for the life of me. But there's a group of kind of comedians, I say comedians as if they're professionals, of stupid people who are trying to recreate video games scenarios. So one of them is actually Frogger, and they get this guy in this busy highway, and they have the guy wearing a frog suit, the one with a huge freaking head, the styrofoam head, and these little flippers on his feet. So he really can't walk, so and they shove him out in the traffic and tell him to go. It's
sounds
wow.
like the sounds like the movie Running Man, but better.
Running yeah. Man crossed with a Jackass.
To see them do Q-Bert.
Q-Bert would be awesome. And then here comes the snake.
Here comes the snake. They also did one, I think it was, it might have been this group or a different group, but they had one guy go into a store and pay with these little Mario coins that he had printed out and cut out and everything. Like, how much is that? 12. Well, here you go, 1, 2. What are these things? Where'd you get them? Oh, these are coins from the Mushroom Kingdom. You know, do you not take Mushroom Kingdom coins? Get out of my store. Here, let me get out of my store.
Yeah, I saw that. They were incredibly rude to him.
Yes.
I mean, even though he was pulling a joke, they just had no sense of humor.
I wouldn't have probably that much sense of humor.
Yeah, but I mean, one of them was a comic book store.
Those people are humorless.
I mean, it wasn't even like there was somebody behind them, you know, oh, you're holding up the line, jackass, you know. No, it was just like, wow, you're such a dick. I hate you. Get out of my store.
But have they done Donkey Kong? Because I want to see a short, fat Italian plumber trying to climb his way up the ladders, avoiding flaming barrels.
MTV had a show that's very similar, only more high, you know, a better expensive,
better graphics.
With more money to blow on props. And they sure enough had made this thing where if they roll down a barrel, it will go down 4 levels, and this guy had to get up and jump over every single one. The problem was that it wasn't very high, so he was crouching, so every time he'd try and jump over this, he'd hit his head. The barrel would hit him in the knees, and he'd fall right on
over. Yes!
And there's a girl at the very top, you know, and a guy in a monkey suit, and the guy in the monkey suit's dropping the barrel.
I would be much more...
Get up here, you jackass! Come on!
I would be much happier if it were actual monkey. Because, but that would probably funny. That would probably send the whole thing into disarray.
Yeah,
poop being flung.
Poop. Sounds like an episode of The Wild Boys,
which another show I've never watched.
It's an MTV2 thing. The guys from Jackass.
Johnny Knoxville.
That's all you have to say.
Leave it to the poet to make an obscure reference. What was the first video game? Now I might know the answer to this, Heather. What was the first video game that you played in the arcade?
Oh, probably. I bet it was Galaga.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I had an interest in video games until I saw War Games and went.
Well, but that was 84, and we used to go to the Quarter Zone.
That's true.
Before then, and that was because that was over by where we lived, and that was 82, 83.
Okay, so then it probably had to have been like either Pac-Man or Burger Time or
Loved Burger Time
or something like that.
Like Burger Time, like Ghouls and Ghosts. The Safeway used to have a couple video games, and one of them was Ghouls and Ghosts.
Or that Dungeons and Dragons game. Was that what it was called? When it was that guy and he had the...
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair.
Yes,
the quest where you are a brave knight.
Yes.
Search for a pretty princess who looks like a snow bunny.
Yes, yes. And who was the animator for
Don
that?
Bluth.
Don Bluth.
Don Bluth, who also did Secret of NIMH.
Yes, that's right.
He was dissatisfied with Disney and did his own thing. But
and that was the big thing about Dragon's Lair, was that it was on three Laserdiscs.
And Space Ace. Space Ace, though, I could never get the hang of. I was pretty good at Dragon's Lair, but I could never get the hang of Space Ace. Dad, did you ever play any video game in the arcade?
Well, yeah, we played a lot of video games, but I grew up on pinball machines. I mean, it was a nickel.
Nickel. And, they still make
you
those.
You got 5 balls, and, you know, but you could just keep racking up the wins. You know, you only needed maybe 1,000 points, and you'd get a free game and a free game and a free game. You could go in there with a quarter and play all day. But
he's a pinball wizard.
He is.
There has to be a trick.
But we used to play. I used to play, you know, the crap that you guys played a little bit. Not very good, but. I really liked it. I was watching this Wii. That looks really interesting.
Yeah, I think you'll have a lot of fun playing the golf.
Yeah.
It'll be a nice way to get you some golfing without having to go out.
Without going out and trying to walk.
Yeah.
But yeah, pinball machines as well. And then they would have the games where you actually shot and little pellets would come out of the gun and knock ducks down and stuff. But
and
you
probably
made a video game of that, actually.
You know, in the video games, like in Rustic Hills, I would shoot. Do the ones where you shot the pistol and you killed the convict and you tried not to kill the good guys, and I don't know what that stuff called, but
Hogan's
I sure
Alley.
Can't do the stuff Hogan's you Alley. Guys do now, but I could do this Wii, it looks like.
Yeah, the Wii looks like a lot of fun. You'll have to get playing on that.
Yeah.
What was the first game that you can remember that you played, Justin, in the arcade?
In the arcade, and I was trying to think about this, I think it was when I was taking judo when I was 8 years old in Boulder. I think it was Donkey Kong. I really think it was Donkey Kong because my big brother at the time, Stan Owaki, we would go after judo and he'd just give me a couple of quarters, you know, and we'd bananas was the name of the it was like Fridays or you know one of those restaurants and stuff, and they just had a little game machine there, and I'm pretty sure it was Donkey Kong.
All right. Can you remember their Jenny Valentine?
I think so. I think actually Showbiz Pizza Place, which was 1,000 times better than Chuck E. Cheese's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think there was one of those race car ones. It wasn't actually a race car. You got in, you sat, you just turned the wheel, and you tried to avoid hitting the people and hitting the things in the street, and then the ambulance would come by, and you try to avoid hitting that. I kicked ass at that when I was 5.
Because you have developed to the point where in real life you can avoid snakes, so you can also avoid not, you know, fake obstacles.
What's with the obsession with snakes?
That suits your skill set. Avoiding snakes.
Avoiding snakes, yeah. I'm going to play some Mother effing Q-Bert and avoid some mother effing snakes.
Can't actually say the F word. We have an explicit tag through iTunes. It's okay.
Okay.
You can curse. I'm not going to be having to bleep that. Colin, what's the first fucking game you ever played in this? God.
I'm so fucking old, it's hard to remember.
What have I started?
I'm thinking it might have been Asteroids or something like that.
Son of a bitch.
So, yeah.
Asteroids.
I don't think it was Pac-Man. Might have been Asteroids or Warlords. I'm not sure.
I remember that the Safeway not far from here that's no longer the Safeway, it had a Pac-Man back in 80, and it was one of the first places that had the Pac-Man. Jungle Hunt might have been one of the first games that I played at Quarter Zone. A Dig Dug. Played the Q-Bert. Played a lot of them. There was a lot
Journey.
Of
Journey.
You know, remember I hated that one.
Do you remember? Do you remember the Legend video game?
Legend?
Yeah, it came out. It was the same as the Legend, the movie with Tom Cruise.
Oh.
There was a video game that came out about the same time.
I remember a game of Crawl that was based hard. Off of Crawl, where you throw that spinning star thing.
And Last Star.
It was crap.
Did they ever make a Last Starfighter video game?
No, I don't think they did.
This was back.
They were going to. I know they were going to, and then I don't think the movie did well enough, and I don't think they did.
Yeah.
This was back when, you know, tie-ins were actually expensive. I mean, it cost a lot of money. Can you tell me? Here's a little bit of trivia before we end this show. What game spawned a movie?
What game spawned a movie?
Yeah, not made for the movie, but the movie was made based on the game.
Mario Brothers.
Oh, Mario Brothers.
No.
Yeah.
Tron.
Well, no. Tron came.
Oh, and
Cloak
I loved me some
and
Tron.
Dagger.
That's right.
Cloak and Dagger.
That's right. You
I remember
go
that.
Go back and play Cloak and Dagger, and then go to your local video store and see if you can find a
if
VHS
you're
copy
really for pain.
of Cloak and Dagger. It's this. I guess the premise was that at some level, it hypnotized you or unlocked some sort of government secret?
I don't remember.
I cannot
it's
remember,
been
but
too
it was
long.
Very silly.
Wow. I just remember the movie. The movie was great.
I don't think the game really spawned it. I think the game was tied directly into it.
They made them at the same time?
Yeah, I think they made the movie
because the only place I ever saw that Cloak and Dagger video game was like at a laundromat in Grand Junction, Colorado. And I didn't want to play it because I didn't want to get hypnotized.
Oh, now I've got to find out about this. Oh, that'd be cool.
So I've left you with an assignment, and I'm leaving, and we're all leaving because we're at the end of the show. I'm Derek Knight of Son of Cheese.
Circus.
Yeah. Circus on the Atari. Mom and Heather used to just sit and play constantly. I hated that.
The clown squish.
Yeah, but you're trying to keep them alive, though.
No, she liked to kill them. She's a clown killer.
Evil clown.
So I'm Derek Knight of SonOfCheese.com. With us this week, Colin Burt and FizzleAndPop.com.
Goodbye, everybody.
Published author Jenny Valentine.
See you by my book.
Justin Carmichael of EmeraldHyrofine.com.
See you by my wife's book.
Bye, Dad Jess Knight.
Bye.
And my sister Heather Knight of Mad and Spam.
Bye-bye. Bye, Danny Book.
As always, thanks for joining us on the big program. We'll see you again next Wednesday.
Bye.